I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today is from the first book of John, starting with the first chapter, first verse, through the second chapter, second verse. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to our joy, so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to Him. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we will have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not know what is true. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word.
Thank you, Lee. You know, we're told that the words of this book were written by the authors, so their joy may be complete. I encourage you to read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and see if that's true for you, to see if it completes your joy. I can tell you this about all three books. They're full of love, words of love, about loving, about being loved. And if you read it, there's going to be moments, I think, that you will most likely feel loved by the writer. But you will also find that these three brief writings are very judgmental by setting parameters for walking with God. For example, in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. And then there's verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What the author wants us to know is if we talk the talk, we must walk the walk. That's really what it comes down to. If you're going to say you're a believer, if you're going to say you follow Jesus, then you need to follow Jesus. You need to listen to the teachings. You need to work through anything that Jesus is able to help you work through. I mean, really, you think about it, it's not all that different from us saying, if you say that you're a compassionate person, but you walk by the homeless cursing them and never helping them, you're a liar. I mean, that's harsh, but that's the way John puts it out there in these three short books. Don't say that you're something if you're not going to do it. Talk the talk, you walk the walk. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, you cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. If you're thinking about being kind to someone and you say, you know, I'll do it next week, what if you're not alive next week? A little late. The urgency of doing kindness, Jesus spoke on that. Be kind, always be kind. There's never a time that you can't be kind. So, I mean, again, it's really sad to think about the fact that all too often we want to say we're followers of Jesus, but then when it comes down to actually doing the teachings of Jesus, we say, well, that's just a little too much. I can't do that. But I'm going to tell you a story, and I want to tell you a story about compassion and light. And hopefully you will see the light in this story. And it's a personal experience. It's something that I've never forgotten. At one time, while in ministry, I owned a counseling company. And I had psychologists and therapists working for me. And we served in nursing homes. I would contract with nursing homes. And as some of you may know, and probably most of you know, when someone goes into a nursing home, they have adjustment disorder, anxiety disorder, depression. There are so many things that happen to people. That's a huge change. Regardless of their condition, that is a huge change in their life to be put in a nursing home. Not saying that they shouldn't, just saying that you're going to have adjustment disorders. It's going to happen. Well, when I was working at this particular nursing home, I went in to check on my crew, and it's in Waco, and I walked in, and I was talking to the nursing staff, and there's this one nurse. Her name was Amber, and she was the most impressive individual I had met in nursing, maybe even outside of nursing, but there was just something really special about Amber. Her compassion, her level of compassion was just beyond anything that I had ever experienced, and she was telling me about this woman that they had there in the nursing home who was hated, literally. The other residents didn't want anything to do with her. They said she complained all of the time. Even the nursing staff did not want to go around her. This woman was just an angry, very frustrated, very depressed individual. So as Amber told me the story about this lady, I listened, and my therapist, I had already assigned two different therapists to her. They both said, we can't work with her. She's just hateful. And when we go in, we try to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk. So naturally, me being me, I said, I'll do it. And I found out what they said was basically true. But I kept plugging away. Well, finally, there was a summer night, and it was very hot and muggy, as it tends to get in Central Texas and even here at times. And this woman was in a state. This old woman was just complaining like crazy. And you could hear her down the hallway saying, help, I need somebody, help. So Amber leaves the nurse's station and runs down to the end of the hall to check on this lady. And when she walks in, she sees that she doesn't really need anything. But she goes in, she sits with her for a few minutes, and then she walks out. When she walks out, the doctor had just gone around doing his visitation, and he tells Amber and her staff, she doesn't have long, maybe hours, and she'll be gone. Now keep in mind that this woman had been in the nursing home for at least 5 years. But this particular night, she started hollering again. So Amber got up, left the station, and ran down to be with her. When she walked into the room, the old woman began to cry. And she said, I'm scared. I know I don't have long to live, and I'm scared. Well, Amber sat down next to the bed and held her hand. And the woman said, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. And her eyes, Amber said as she looked at her, that she could see in her eyes, please love me and understand me where I'm coming from. Well, then the old woman started getting a little upset again and said, I can't sleep, I can't sleep. You've got to do something. You've got to do something. So Amber got up, left, went back to the nurse's station, got a sleeping pill that was prescribed by the doctor, went back and gave it to the woman. Started to walk out, the woman grabbed her hand and said, don't leave me. I'm scared. Well, it's around midnight. So Amber, as she's standing there, the old woman says, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And began to weep and shake. Amber did something that would have gotten her fired. had anyone else known. But she pulled the covers back and got in bed with the old woman. And she put her arm around her, and she ran her fingers through her hair. The sleeping pill kicked in, and the woman fell asleep. Amber slipped out of the bed. Early that morning, she goes back to check on her, and she looks really peaceful. But when she walks up, she finds out she's not breathing. Amber called me. She was weeping. I went to talk to her, and she said that was the last act of kindness that that woman ever experienced. It was. Amber didn't have to do it, and as I said, she told me, but she didn't tell anyone else. If she had told anyone she'd gotten in bed with that patient, she would have been fired. Nurses aren't supposed to do that, right, Lois? You don't just get in bed with somebody, but she did. That woman went out of this world knowing that somebody cared, somebody loved her, and she was the most hated and feared patient in that nursing home. No one wanted to be around her, but Amber was. And Amber gave her the compassion that she needed. There is a Chinese proverb that says, "A bit of fragrance always clings to the hand that gives roses." And that's true. A bit of fragrance always clings to the hand that gives roses. We never touch the life of another without it touching our own. Think about that. Is that not what Jesus taught? You can't do a kindness to someone or help someone without it affecting you. When you're kind to somebody, that kindness comes back to you. How many of us would have felt any compassion when faced with someone who was so unpleasant as to be unliked by other patients and the nursing staff? How many of us would have done that? How many of us would have felt sympathy for her, but in the end done nothing? Gosh, I feel really bad for you, and then just leave the room. Would we have had the courage to risk our jobs to help a dying stranger? Jesus did. Would you? I'll admit, every time I went into that woman's room to do therapy, I went in with fear and trepidation. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is she going to complain about today? Is she going to turn on me? But someone like Amber didn't think about that. She just thought about, this woman needs help, and I'm going to help her. True compassion does not stand and offer only words in time of need. Real compassion does not only look, but it sees. You know the difference between looking and actually seeing? We can look at people, but do we really see that person? The eyes of compassion see the pain and suffering of the other person and has the courage not just to look, but to look for ways to help, however small those ways may be. That is being blinded by the light. That is taking the light of Jesus Christ and going into someone's life and shining compassion in their life. How many of us do that? How many of us care enough to do that? If we are a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John is saying, you say that you're going to love one another as He loved you, do it. Love. If you say that you believe when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, do it. Don't just talk about it. Actually live it. Do it. Beginning today, I'm going to challenge you to treat everyone you meet as if they're going to be dead by midnight. Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. If you're thinking of rewards, it's not doing you any good. Your life will never be the same again if you treat everyone with kindness. And that's quite a challenge, because I'm not so sure all of us can do it. I can try. We all have bad days. But how many times have we said, I'm having a bad day, but I haven't had a time to forget whose I am. And I'm going to go out and show the love and compassion that the Lord showed me when He died on the cross. Listen to these words. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus the Christ. We are writing these things so our joy may be complete. And if you treat everyone with kindness, your joy will be complete. You're living the gospel. How much more joyful can that be? In reading and acting as a light from God, our joy will be complete. We only need to live the gospel. If there are any of you who have ever served in the military, and especially if you've served during a war, you will know that there are times that compassion reaches in and grabs your heart when you see what's happening to those around you. And hopefully that same compassion will kick in if it's happening to you. We hear it all the time. No one left behind. Those words are spoken because that is compassion. You don't just leave people behind. Jesus used those same words, just in a different way. No one left behind. Everyone needs and deserves the love of God through Jesus. Blind people by your light. Take your light into the world. And I promise you, it will change your life to live the gospel. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we try so hard to live the gospel, and oftentimes we fail, and we ask your forgiveness for those times. We ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that you fill us with hope, and that you fill us with your light, that as we go forward, people may see your light shining in our lives and in our actions. May we always serve you and you only, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.